Welcome to our January Workshop 2018 Returnees Challenge for the Sponsee, Challenge for the Sponsor. This is Elaine from Portland, Oregon, Grateful Compulsive Eater, and I will be the facilitator for this. Will you unmute by pressing star 6 and join me in the Serenity Prayer? God.
Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, and wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. And now if everybody will press star 6, we will continue. I'd like to begin with an excerpt from today's daily reflection. Every day I stand at turning points. My thoughts and actions can propel me toward growth or turn me down the road to old habits and compulsive eating. Most of us have used the start of the new year as a turning point. My guess is that January brings with it newcomers and returnees. I thought having our fellows reflect on the challenges of returning from both the sponsees and the sponsor's perspectives might offer some takeaways for all of us. We encourage PhoneBridge members to practice the seventh tradition, and you can use PayPal or go to CHOW website for guidance on how to make your donation, and today's workshop is being recorded. We will have 6 panelists today who will offer their experience, strength, and hope on this subject. Each will speak for about 12 minutes. After the first 3 speakers, we will have 15 minutes of questions and comments. Anyone may ask a question. And then we will have 3 additional speakers and use the remainder of time for questions and discussion and comments. Our speakers today will be Roberta from Orange County, California, Bruce from Seattle, Barbara D. from Atlanta, Georgia, Judy W. from Arizona, Sue R. from Anaheim, California, and Marcia K. from New York. Each person will leave their phone number after they speak. Press star 6 to unmute yourself and star 6 to mute yourself after you're done speaking. And so now I would like to welcome our first panelist, Roberta, who's taking an intermission from church to be with us today. Go ahead, Roberta.
Hi, everybody. I'm Roberta, a compulsive eater, again from Orange County, California. I'll qualify. I've been in program about 11 years now, but I recommitted last year after about a 9.5 sprint of abstinence. And so my current date of abstinence is August 7th, 2017. I am down about 53 pounds from my highest weight. I am a food inventory step and maintenance sponsor. So coming into this workshop, I have a perspective on both what is it to be a returnee and what is it to be a sponsor of returnees, because I've had several. And in my mind, a returnee could be somebody that left and went out for a while before coming back, or they could be a slipper where they have ongoing slips, and I've sponsored both, as well as people with long-term abstinence. I will share with you my experience, strength, and hope, and obviously like any of us, you take what you like and leave the rest, but bottom line, the answer for me is the 7 tools. That is the answer to all of us on all sides of the equation. If I am following the 7 tools, which are, again, following the food plan, doing my literature and writing every day, writing on a question and giving it to my sponsor, practicing anonymity, making my telephone calls, going to at least 3 meetings a week, always having a service position, and participating in sponsorship, both being a sponsor and sponsoring others, that is the answer. However, beyond that, the deeper aspect of it is, well, how do you work that? And the first thing I have to address is the fear of coming back. That, well, it didn't work before, why is it going to work now? Also the fear of, for example, when I stepped down after being 9.5 years in program, I had been in a number of service positions at the, I was a delegate, I was on various committees for the business conference, I was the treasurer of Area 10, and I had to step down. And there is a lot of fear in coming back where it's like, well, man, especially since I had several slips even after that. It wasn't like, okay, make a commitment and everything's all good from there out. Again, it's easier to slip. And so the fear is, well, if I slip before, am I going to slip again? And I don't want to take any service positions because what if I slip again and I have to get out of doing it? And it's just, so there's a lot of fear, like what's going to happen and who's going to say what and, you know, when is this going to get, all these things. There's just a lot of fear. But one thing that what really rang true for me in my own slip was before the slip and after the slip, see how it works. It absolutely works. So that phrase, it works when you work it, is really true. And I took a lot of comfort in that to know that if I work this program, it will work. And so that's another catalyst to bring up the word perfection. If I am seeking for perfection, then I need to look at, well, what exactly, why do I think I am going to be perfect anyway? Certainly, if I go down the list of the tools, perfection in the food, it absolutely is true that in our literature, a slip is defined only by, are you following the food plan? It says specifically in our sponsor guideline that a slip is eating more than on the food plan or something not on the food plan or skipping a meal. And I'm summarizing it, so if you want the actual language, I encourage you to look at your own sponsor guideline book. So technically, yep, that is. You need to follow the food plan. But there's other tools as well. For example, literature and writing. Have I ever read a question and then misread it and then wrote on what I thought the question said, only to find out when I read it to my sponsor, I went, oh, shoot, that's not what the question was. I read an answer to the wrong question. Have I done that? Yes. Or have I ever written an answer to a question that wasn't thorough? It was like, well, yeah, kind of answered it, but there's other stuff I could write about, but I'm not going to. Have I ever done that? Yes. Anonymity. Have I been totally perfect in practicing anonymity? I have not. I have not. And I've learned from it and made a point to never do that again. My telephone calls. Now, that I have to say, I have actually made at least 3 live calls every day for the last 11 years. However, I don't think most of my colleagues in program have. I hear it more often than any that, oh, I'm really bad at phone calls. So whether it's me or others, there's lots of imperfection in telephone calls. Have I ever gone to a meeting, and I have a principle when I go to a meeting, because I heard this years ago, that I cannot count a meeting as being one of my 3 meetings a week unless I arrive no later than 5 minutes late and leave no more than 5 minutes early. So I do that. However, even when I'm there, have I sometimes not paid attention? Have I daydreamed? Have I multitasked? Yes, those absolutely true. I haven't been there present. Service. Have I done service imperfectly? That is correct. Sponsorship. Have I done it imperfectly? That is correct. I have. So when I look back at all of the tools, not just the food plan, but all of them, I have to say I'm imperfect in all of them. And so the issue isn't my perfection. The issue is, what am I going to do today to invest in my recovery? Am I willing to work the tools today? Am I willing to go to any length? Yes, I am. So it's not perfection, it's progress. And so that's, for me, one of the aspects that I needed to really come to grips with. And so when I work with returnees, that's what I do. It's progress. And so that brings me to the topic of boundaries. When I have a returnee as a sponsor, I use that as an opportunity to talk about what do we want? What do you want in a sponsor? What do I want to be as a sponsor? What do you want to be as a sponsee? What do I want you to be as a sponsor, as a sponsee? And typically all of us will want to be abstinent. But we have to talk, what does that look like? What happens if, for example, what happens if you make a commitment? Obviously we're going to work together, and I'm speaking as if I'm speaking to a sponsee. What happens if I don't hear from you for a day or two? What do we do? And that's a great opportunity for a discussion. And all of it will, I think, come back to if there is a higher power that gave us abstinence to begin with, surely he will do it again now. So there's a good chance, who was it that made me abstinent before? Was it me? If I think it's me, was it really me? Or was it not my higher power that made me abstinent? If my higher power made me abstinent before, surely he can make me abstinent again. So going forward, what I try to do, both for me and for my sponsee, is to act my way into right thinking rather than thinking myself into right action. Because my head's going to say, I'm really scared, and what if I screw up, and what if this? And all those things are true. Thank you for sharing, Roberta. Do the right thing. And what is the right thing? Follow the seven tools, period. Follow the food plan. Do my question every day. Practice anonymity. Do my telephone calls. Get my butt into three meetings in the last week. Practice service and make sure I'm involved in a sponsor. And when I get 30 days, be a sponsor as well. That's the answer. Now, along the way, there's going to be a lot of buts. Yeah, but. And for those, that's what I use in the relationship I have with my sponsee as an opportunity to write about what is it that you're concerned about. Let's write about it, talk about it, pray about it. Talk about what you're thinking, what you think is worth listening to. Your feelings are valid. Let's see what's going on. Write about it. Uncover, discover, and discard. A lot of stuff that I used to think before recovery, and even after recovery, a lot of times I have no idea why I'm doing what I'm doing. But this program has given me tools, wonderful, awesome tools, to figure out what the heck is going on in there. Now let me pause for a second and go back and come up with just a couple of analogies in my personal life. I think I recall a time in my late teens or early 20s where I was driving my car and I ran out of gas. Now, why did I run out of gas? Well, the answer was I didn't go to the gas station in time to get gas from my car. But I was disadvantaged, and it was really horrible and scary, and I ran out of gas. And I had to, I don't know, walk a mile or whatever to get gas, and I felt stupid, and people were like, what are you doing? You're still, you know. Well, okay, since then, I've had plenty of opportunities to get in my car. And when I see that gas gauge getting low, I go, Roberta, you better get to the gas station, otherwise you're going to run out of gas. And you don't want that, right? Yeah, I don't want that. And so when I look back and I say, okay, well, there was that time I didn't get gas in my car and I ran out of gas. Has that stopped me from driving? No, but it has taught me to see things that are going to happen and take a different action. Before I was like, oh, I'm sure it'll be fine. Well, it wasn't fine. I need to take action before something happens. And the same is true of my recovery. Maybe I did have a slip. Maybe there are people in program that have 30 years of recovery. God bless them. For me, that's not the case. I didn't. I let the food, I'm a compulsive eater, I always will be, and I let the food convince me that I should pick up. And so, okay, yep, I did that. What can I do today to make sure that never happens again? Another example I thought of was that
2 minutes.
I was born in thanks so much. And in light of that, I think I'll go to the next part, which I was going to say, which is all of this being said, there's literature that says self-knowledge avails us nothing. So I have to admit that even if I knew everything that was going on in my head and could write about it and say, the truth is, it's not going to make a difference. I'm still a compulsive eater. It's still not what I think. It's what I do. And so I acknowledge what's going on in my head, and I acknowledge that feeling of, oh, I'm not good enough. I didn't do it right. But today I can take action. At the end of the day, what do I need to do to my sponsees? I need to listen, I need to not judge, and I need to not give unsolicited advice other than the seven tools, and of course if they ask me my advice, I'm happy to share it. And as a sponsee, I need to share what's going on with me, and I need to work my tools, and I need to keep coming back. But for both of us, the sponsor and the sponsee, I honestly believe I have to rely on God. It was God who helped me before, and God is going to help me now. And it's that honesty and acceptance and laughter, because there is a lot of laughter in a sponsee-sponsee relationship. And my biggest prayer the last couple years or so has been, God help us all. And that's my prayer, God help us all. My name is Roberta, and my number Pacific Time is 714-299-9721. Again, 714-299-9721. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Roberta. Our next speaker is Bruce from Seattle. Go ahead, Bruce.
Thanks, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. My name is Bruce. I am a compulsive eater. and I am very grateful to be recovering in the See How program. I like to say that I'm recovering because it is what I'm doing at the moment. It's not what I did yesterday or what I'm going to do tomorrow. It's what I am doing right now. The action of being recovering is what I feel this program is all about for me. I like to qualify. My abstinence date began, my recommitment date began April 18, 2016. I first got abstinent 2006 when I first came into See How. And I came into See How having known about it sometime before I actually made my first meeting. I was in my doctor's office one Friday afternoon when she said, "Bruce, I want to start you on insulin therapy." And the reason she was saying that, because my blood sugars were so high from all of the compulsive eating I had been doing. What I feel was the divine inspired moment came when I was able to say to my doctor, "No, I know of a program. I would like to try that before taking the insulin therapy." And she said, "Okay, well, I'll give you 3 weeks." And that started my journey in the See How program. That was Friday that I left her office. Saturday, I went to a See How meeting for the first time. I got a sponsor. And Sunday, I had my first day of abstinence. And that lasted for over 6 months without any slips or not even a crumb that wasn't committed to my sponsor. And somehow I ran into a highly emotional situation where someone that I liked and known and was acquainted with treated me as though they didn't know me. At a reception at a church where a wedding was being held, one of our members was getting married, and this individual I had known quite well had played piano for her and her daughter at her home. And during this session of recepting the people in for this wedding, I didn't get my customary smile and a hug from her or any acknowledgement at all. And that led me to seek comfort from the pain and the emotional hurt that I was feeling. And so after having this long period of abstinence, I just decided, this is too painful. I am going to seek out some comfort and some food. And I did that. And, of course, I had to start all over again. But that let me know that there are times when I can't handle the situation on my own. And I have to get help from a higher power, help from a sponsee, help from another member. There are times where Bruce just can't do it by himself. That was one of those times. I did finally get back. I settled down. I went for some more years without any slips. And I got to another point where I slipped again. And that was around April 18th, 2016. And again, I got right back onto the program. This latest recommitment came the very next day after having a slip. And so I'm learning that being in program is more positive for me, is more safe for me. It gives me a more feeling of a serenity, peace, and well-being than being out of the program. And so I've learned that whatever happens, the best place for me to be is in the CIHOW program. I intend to be here for the duration. And the time I've spent in CIHOW has taught me a number of things, lessons that I carry into my daily life. One powerful thing that I've learned is there's a such thing as living in my head, and there's a such thing as living in the past as well as living in the future. And the thing that allows me most peace of mind and serenity is what I'm able to take action on right now. For instance, I have had tempting times where I'm alone and I'm a little uncomfortable and there's food in the cabinet, in the refrigerator, the freezer or whatever, and I'm thinking, wow, that surely would be comforting to have that. And I have to remind myself of the discomfort that's going to come directly after I've had that so-called comfort from a food that wasn't committed. And so oftentimes I'll ask my higher power, help me and help me help you help me. What do I need to do? And that will usually come to taking action right at the moment. I can't lay down on my laurels or sit on my laurels. I need to work every day. And sometimes my focus is challenged. I can't keep my mind on what I need to do. And I've learned through prayer and meditation to increase my period of focus. And that has helped me to remind myself of who I am and what I need to do to take care of myself. I need to be abstinent. And I like what Roberta said about the seven tools. I've used that as a sort of a guide and a checklist of where I'm at in my recovery. If I'm doing all those things, I know that the path of recovery is wide. If I'm doing less of those things, that path gets narrower, and I'm liable to fall off of it. So if I get those up front, I'll get my prayer and meditation in, there's a nice, comfortable path for me to walk and stay in recovery. When working with returnees and sponsees, I oftentimes tell them what has helped me in critical times. You know,
Two minutes, Bruce.
Thank you, Elaine. I'm not craving food 24/7. It's those critical times that can make the whole difference, all of the difference. And those are the times that I ask my higher power to help me. And those are the times that are important. You know, I know it's a great reward coming when I step up and not allow myself to give in. That builds strength daily, or whenever it happens. It makes me a little bit stronger to have a urge or a craving tempt me, and I say to that craving, stand up and say to that craving, I want to be known as a recovering compulsive eater, and this will not allow me to earn that title. And that's what I do every day. I want to earn the title of being a recovered compulsive eater, or more specifically, a recovering compulsive eater. I'm taking the action day by day, sometimes minute by minute, to be a recovering compulsive eater. And with that, I'd like to stop. My area code is 206-495-2563, Pacific time zone, 206-495-2563. Thank you,
Bruce. And we'll have our next speaker, and then after our next speaker, we'll have time for questions and comments, and then we will resume our speakers after about 15 minutes. But our next speaker is Barbara D. from Atlantic, Georgia. Barbara, are you there?
Yes. Hi. Good afternoon.
Hi.
This is Barbara in Atlanta, and I'm a recovering compulsive eater. And thank you, Elaine, for asking me to be a part of this panel today. I'll qualify. I recommitted to CEA How abstinence on April 26, 2015. That's my recommitment date. I am down 85 pounds from my top weight, which was 220 in 2006, when I did, after 8 years of being in relapse, because I was in our sister program, OA How. I went into the rooms in 1996, and it was about, for me, initially the physical recovery, although I heard my story, and I knew that my compulsive, well, I didn't even think I was a compulsive eater, but I knew that I kept eating compulsively and out of emotion, and I wanted to get back to a size that I felt comfortable. However, like I said, I went out and I stayed out for 8 years, and I was in a serious state of denial, resistance. I did not want to take the challenge. So when I look at this topic today, which is returnees, challenge for the sponsee, challenge for the sponsor, I think about, you know, there are so many challenges that are actually positive. And you know what? This is one of them. CEA How has been a wonderful challenge for me because it allowed me to get outside of myself and the conversations I was having with myself for so many years. And because I can go off task, I wrote a few notes. I thought about the theme, and I'm kind of a visualist. I think about, I thought about the idea that this relationship, because that's what it is. When you're being sponsored and when you are a sponsee, you're working with someone. You're not, no longer are we doing this deal, as I've heard before it explained. We're not doing this alone. So it's a delicate and sometimes very fragile dance. But with the willingness, and I put willingness first because I feel like the willingness is what opens my mind and then allows me to be honest as a sponsee and a sponsor. So this delicate and fragile dance with willingness and open mind and honesty, it will build a strong recovery for both the sponsee and sponsor. But we both have to be willing to be open and willing to be honest. I have to, as a sponsor, be willing to listen. And because that's one of my greatest limitations, it is truly a defect of character that I feel like sometimes I know all the answers. And I'm sure there might be some former sponsees out there who say, yep, I agree. You know, she either is talking too much and not listening. So we have to be able as sponsors to guide, but to listen. So that's been the greatest challenge for me over the years that I've been back, is to zip my lip, to not, and so that's, with that, there's those boundaries that are very important in this relationship and in this dance. I tend to enjoy freestyle dancing. That is, in fact, my core nature, because I am undisciplined and unstructured. So I like to freestyle dance, and I do. However, this is a disciplined and structured approach to living today. So in order to do that with someone else together, we have to walk these steps, these 12 steps, these 12 traditions together. And as it is written in our literature, in our AA literature, in our CEA How literature, I mean, that's the beautiful thing, is that I didn't have to write any of this literature. I just have to want to do the dance together with someone, my sponsor, and then hopefully with the people I sponsor, that we're doing this dance together. Because the number one thing that we share in common, even if we don't share the same race, the same region, the same, you know, gender, we share this common situation, which is we're compulsive eaters. So, but there is a cure and there is a solution, and we can do it together. So we can, in fact, make what seems to be a challenge or challenging, we can actually take that challenge and make it real positive. But some of the things I wrote down is, if you prefer a freestyle rather than disciplined and structured approach to sponsoring and being sponsored in CEA, how it can be challenging. I also tend to be kind of a hands-off approach. I manage people in my work life, and so I don't like to micromanage. One of my limitations is that I am passive-aggressive. So I tend to sometimes not want to see what's in front of me. But however, when it's in my face, I can be very aggressive. I've had to see that self of myself as a sponsor. And I just have to be honest. It can be challenging when all of a sudden I'm being questioned about things that are already written. It's like, okay, if I'm doing the deal, what is it about this that you're finding challenging? But I've learned to be patient, to be more tolerant, to be less judgmental, because the big deal is that I'm a perfectionist. I still carry that. I want to make it a perfect situation. It's just not going to be. And that in itself is, it's an illness, I feel. You know, if I want to be perfect, if I want everything to work out perfectly, it's just not going to happen. So that becomes a challenge, that I just want everything to be smooth. You know, sometimes people might not call you on time. However, communication is key. That can be a challenge. And as Roberta said earlier, that's the time to have a conversation, because things do happen on both ends. I also wrote down, if you believe you have completed the steps before, either in this program or another 12-step program, that you've read all the approved literature and you prefer to do the abstinence dance solo or with little guidance from your sponsor and other fellows, you will find the CEA How approach challenging. You know, been there, done that. You know, oh, I got the food plan, that's all I need. No, that's just one part of it. You know, we have these seven tools, and as my sponsor says, if you're just doing one or two, you're just doing, you know, you're not doing all of them. You're doing 1/7 of the tools, or you're doing 2/7. I mean, you're just not doing all of it. And so all of it gives me more of it. What is more of it? It gives me more of recovery. And the other thing I know to be true is that I don't believe any sponsor I've ever had, and I've had several in this program, no one has ever told me to do or suggested anything to me that was going to be harmful to my physical, emotional, or spiritual being. But, you know, if I want to question it, if I want to debate about it, if I want to doubt it, then, you know, most likely I'm going to move away from it. And I did for 8 years. And I went from having to now lose, initially it was 75 pounds, to nearly 100 pounds. So, you know, some people, myself included, have to go back out for more, and I say today, it's more of the lesson. It's more part of what my journey is about. But I'm grateful today that, you know, I'm sticking, I'm staying, and I'm really afraid. I'm so afraid to go back out. There's nothing out there for me. I'm very happy where I am. I get a lot more joy and freedom from turning over my will today. So again, back to that willingness to be honest, to be open-minded. And that's been not very easy for me to do because I'm used to isolating in my head. I can isolate by just shutting down. And one of the tools that has been difficult for me is to reach out when I'm in trouble, when I'm, you know, again, having conversations with myself as a sponsor and sponsee. Another thing I wrote is if you are afraid or feel you don't have the courage to share your fears with others in program because you don't want others to know that you don't know, you will find the CEA How approach to sponsoring and sponsoring challenging. Yes, everything is written, but there's so many things that I'm still learning. And I will say this, my sponsees have been my greatest teachers, just like my son, who, because it's the relationships for me. Sometimes they can be challenging, and sometimes I am challenged. But the biggest, and the person who I challenge and I find most challenging is myself. Another point I wrote is when the CEA How food plan is not good enough and you question, you doubt, and debate with yourself, the itty-bitty committee in your head and your sponsor, you know, then the CEA How way of life can be challenging.
2 minutes.
So the question I say and I ask today is what better challenge is there than being abstinent in recovery rather than alone with the disease of compulsive thinking and eating? For me, there is no better challenge today because I know what it looks like to stand at the kitchen counter, which I did 2.5 years prior to coming back and recommitting, and binging on abstinent, quote-unquote, abstinent food, those things that were on my food plan that I was eating a whole loaf of, not being honest about the cravings that I was having for foods that were on my food plan, isolating, removing myself from service because I couldn't serve. I wasn't abstinent. So the last sponsor I had before this sponsor, she said in a very gentle but firm way, we need people who can do service. And I got it. We need people who can do service, who can step up, who can share their experience, strength, and hope, who can give back, because all I was doing was taking. I had several sponsors during that time of going in and out. I was just taking. I wasn't giving. So today, the greatest service I give to myself is to challenge myself to show up every day, to turn my will and my life over to my higher power, to call my sponsor on time every day, to sponsor, to read, to write, to do the tools, to reach out, to put more deposits into the recovery. And yes, it is the greatest challenge today, but it's the best challenge that I have to live a sane, serene, and abstinent life. And I'm just grateful to be here, and thank you so much. My name is Barbara. I'm in Atlanta. My number is 678-873-3055, 678-873-3055.
Thank you, Barbara, Bruce, and Roberta, for the first half of our panel. And now we're going to open up the floor for questions and comments from our listeners. And then we'll have our next three panelists. So if you would like to ask a question, you can press *6 to unmute and then press *6 to mute as you listen to the answer. If you have a comment to make, I'll set the timer and we'll do 3-minute time shares. And if you leave your phone number, be aware that we are recording this and it will be on the website. So opening it up to listeners, questions or comments around the topic, returnees, challenge for the sponsee, challenge for the sponsor.
This is Dorothy. I have a comment.
Please go ahead, Dorothy.
Okay, thank you so very kindly. You know that It is real important that when a returnee comes back to the program, that they probably need to humble themselves at first, almost as a newcomer, because if I come back with the big head, like I've been here before, it's going to be hard for me to grasp this program. And so what I've been taught is, as a sponsor, is to find out how much time they had, because if I'm a food sponsor and that person left out of here in maintenance, for instance, then I'm not qualified to sponsor that person because they have a little bit more knowledge than me. And so that was a suggestion by my sponsor when I was I think I was just food and step sponsor, and someone asked me to sponsor them that had been in maintenance, and my sponsor said no, because you don't have enough time to sponsor that person. And they were bringing me stuff that I didn't quite understand, and that's what led me to go call my sponsor. And then, you know, when you're returning, a returnee is just like a newcomer, and so this message is for the newcomer, too. Interview several people and ask them questions like, what is your personal experience with food addiction and recovery? How long are you in recovery, and how long are you abstinent? You know, because some sponsors are just abstinent. You know, they may not be working the spiritual program or part of the program. And how important is it to work the steps? And what are your expectations and requirements in sponsoring? And what is your availability for phone calls and meetings? And what are your strengths as sponsors? And what are your weaknesses as a sponsor? These are the questions that a sponsee can ask a sponsor. And then the sponsor is a person that only walks us through our recovery program. They're the go-to person that stays connected with the people they work with. They are not...
1 minute.
Thank you. They are not to replace a therapist or a professional consultant, but just be the go-to person. And then how often will you communicate? That's going to be a very important question, because some people are not available. They're just available to take your food and answer your questions in the morning, and they're not available the rest of the time. And some people will say, you can call me anytime. So it's real important to ask questions as if you were interviewing a person for a job, and find out. And then after you've interviewed quite a few people, then you could probably just, from the few people you've interviewed, then make your decision about who is the best person for you. People have different personality, background, stories, and needs. So interviewing a few people will help you find a good match. And so my name is Dorothy. I'm a compulsive eater in recovery.
Oh, thank you, Dorothy. Are there questions or comments from other people who are... Yes, go ahead. Who is this?
I have a question. I apologize for interrupting. I would like to ask, and everybody, I think, touched on this topic about working the program. It works if you work it in the seven tools. But what could you say to a sponsee who works the program and all the seven tools faithfully every day and still struggles with the mental obsession or with occasional slips?
Thank you for that question. So the question, and all the panelists, even the ones who haven't spoken, could address this question. And the question is, the person is really working the program and is still slipping. What do you offer them? Panelists, would you like to respond to that?
Bruce would like to respond to that.
Go ahead, Bruce.
Yes, I think one of the motivators that are coming up and slipping is this so-called addict amnesia, where one tends to forget who they are and what they need to do to take care of themselves. And I've had this problem myself. And one of the things I've done that helped me remember who I am and what I need to do to take care of myself, there have been times where different foods that I had to hang to keep them from bruising were constantly tempting me. And so I would cover them and put a note on it and say things like, this is not to be touched, and this is not to be played with. You know, I look at my environment, and it's a great opportunity to put reminders on the mirror, on the refrigerator, sometimes going in the refrigerator and putting a note on different foods and saying, can take you off the road of recovery and put you on the road of relapse. And those reminders have helped me countless times in getting back to being abstinent. And that's all I have on that one. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce. Are there other panelists who would like to address the question? If you have a sponsee who is working the tools and is still going out, how have you handled it?
Hi, this is Barbara. I just want to share very quickly because it did remind me of when I was trying to get back and slipping and sliding. And I was, again, it was abstinence food. Well, it was the food that was on the food plan. So I had to take it out of my plan coming back. There are a few things I don't eat anymore that are on our food plan. I also think about the process that is God's time. And I know for some people, it's like, okay, what is that? Well, for me, I'm still willing to take the action but not attach myself to the outcome. And that's something I've really practiced more of this year. Because what I would do when I was slipping and sliding, I would, of course, promise myself each evening as I was standing over the counter eating more of that substance that it'll be better next time. I'll do better tomorrow. And so I was white-knuckling it. And this is a spiritual recovery. So if I really believe in a power greater than myself, yes, I continue to do the tools. I continue to get honest about where I am. But I have to continue to believe that God knows best what time that is, that I will have that moment of clean abstinence just one day at a time. And the other thing for me is I do this one day at a time. I just take it for today because taking it out too many days, you know, this is today. So I return, somebody said it this morning in a meeting, I return every day as a newcomer, but being here for now almost 20 years. But yeah, so that's what I have to share on that.
Thank you, Barbara. Any other panelists would like to put in their two cents about how they have handled situations where a sponsee is working the tools, working them hard, and is still going out? Any other input on that? Are there other questions out there that people would like to ask? Or comments?
This is Dorothy. I have a comment if no one else has one.
Go ahead.
Okay. So when I chose my sponsor, I wanted someone that loves me and cares about me and want to help me in my recovery. So what do you do when loved ones relapses? And when I look at a sponsee, I'm looking at a sponsee as a loved one. And so I communicate without confrontation. I don't blame or shame them. And I try to meet them where they are. And I provide, you know, positive reinforcement while setting boundaries. And we talk about how can we remove some triggers. And the most important thing is I take care of myself because I'm maintaining my own friendships and support systems and having my own downtime is critical. And loving, and especially living with someone like my son and all of the things that I've been through with him. So not only having someone in my house, but also my sponsees, those are some of the things that I do in reference to dealing with someone that's in relapse. Do I want to fire them right away? No, that's what they say. I got fired by my sponsor, so that's what I'm saying. So, no, I don't let them go right away. But if it gets to the point where anything or anybody, even my sponsee, jeopardizes my recovery, then I have to let it go. But that's the only way I'll let them go because I have to think about those times when I was a newcomer, I was a returnee, and what a headache I probably was to my sponsor. But yet she stayed in there with me and hung in there with me no matter what. So I'm appreciated for all my sponsors that I've had because I know I have not been a perfect person. an easy person to deal with on some days when I'm being sponsored. So from my own experience, I have to look at me and I have to take myself down to their level instead of trying to bring myself up to bring them up to my level in sponsoring. So thank you for allowing me to share that.
Thank you, Dorothy. Any other questions before we move on? All right. Well, go ahead.
I just have a short comment about that. I have a sponsor who does all their tools, strives to, however many times that they're, because of their work schedule, they're not able to give me their homework. So I will take something in place of the homework, like give me some gratefuls. Let's talk about what is it that we can get you to, like, maybe a different time schedule. Perhaps that would work better. So I strive to stay with that sponsee who's struggling, and yet, lo and behold, there they're down for the count again, another slip. And it's almost like a periodic, like every 6 months, every 8 months, every 3 months, down for the count again, striving to do their tools, not getting their homework in because they overslept. And this is a struggle. I will be very patient. However, when they slip by going, I say to myself, is this something that I'm not doing quite right for them? And I ask them that question. I'll ask that particular person that question. And the most important thing I say is, what do you think happened before you picked up? What in your mindset was going on? I want you to do an inventory around that. And also, I want you to do a food inventory, because sometimes maybe it could be how we're eating. Do we really weigh and measure? Yes, weigh and measure. But what is in those ingredients? What is going on? Because I've seen this person in the past, and I'm concerned. Sometimes we might not be very honest with ourselves. So even in my position as a sponsor, I will have to be rigorously honest with myself and my relationship to that sponsee so that we get to the crux of the matter. Thanks for letting me share that comment.
And is this Elizabeth?
Anyway. Yes, it was.
All right. Okay, very good. All right. I think at this point, we're going to move on to the second set of speakers. And so now I would like to turn the phone and the lines over to Judy W. Judy, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thanks, Elaine.
Okay.
Judy W., compulsive eater. Thanks, Elaine, for asking me to be on this panel. I'm going to let you all know my qualification. I have a recommitted abstinence of October 11, 2016. That's 453 days by the grace of God and the fellowship. And I have a current weight release of 108 pounds. I came in to CHOW in March of 2011, and I have a 126-pound weight release from there. But I have overall 171-pound weight release. I'm a food inventory step and maintenance sponsor, currently not available, but love outreach calls. You know, I've done a lot of reading on this because I've been a little bit nervous about it. It's not that I don't. You know, I'm a returnee. I've been a chronicler in being introduced to various 12-step food recovery programs since 1987, I believe, 88, somewhere around there, when my psychiatrist told me that I needed to get some help with my 350-pound body. So I've been a chronic relapser, but I've also returned continually, because bottom line is that I know that this is the solution that God wants me on. I do believe it's about relationship. The reading that I did was in the big book on how working with others, and that is my greatest challenge, truthfully, and where there needs to be the greatest growth. Because as a compulsive eater, I was very isolative. Relationships didn't really matter all that much to me because I was really focused on food. and getting what I wanted when I wanted it and just everybody else leave me alone. So this idea of talking to three people and my sponsor every day was quite challenging for me as an isolated person and just really wanting a food plan. I really didn't ask to want to have to change everything in my life. But, you know, over time, and I love that about our disease and our common solution. Our common disease and our common solution are the great disciplinarians we need. And it says that in our AA Comes of Age, page 105, that there's no other disciplinarian. I don't need a human being to discipline me, so to speak, although I've had sponsors that wanted to discipline me. I've also had sponsors that wanted to love me, and I wasn't able to allow that love in as much as I would like to have said that I would have if I could have, but there was a great amount of self-loathing going on. So the food and the fat and the sugar and the flour and the quantity drove me to desperation. And as a returnee, I had to be willing to do anything within the guidelines of what CHOW's structured and disciplined approach was told to me through the HOW concept and the tools. And in the beginning, that's all that I could do. That's really all that I could do. And some days, I barely could do the tools the way they are written. But thankfully, I've had sponsors through the years. First of all, and see how the sponsorship portion is taken really seriously. I mean, I've been in other food programs where it was hit and miss kind of stuff. And then after so long, you sponsored yourself, basically. That didn't work for me, really, and it doesn't work for me today. I'm a compulsive eater of a critical level, and I need accountability. I need to report to people, to one person about my food. I don't have to tell the whole world about it anymore. But for me, being honest with someone is absolutely critical. If I'm not honest with somebody, I'm not going to be able to recover from this. And I can tell you, in 28 years, and I just have a little bit over a year back, that honesty has been an issue for me. It's been a big, big issue, not just with other people, but with myself. The rationalization, the justification, the deception, the deceit, the denial has all run its course with me to an extreme level. And the big book tells me that I am doomed unless I have the ability to be rigorously, rigorously honest, and especially about my food. So as a returnee, I have to be willing to do that. I really have to be willing to do that. And then the open-mindedness has to come in to play. It's a big deal to be open-minded. I don't need my sponsor to give me their higher power, but if I did, I better be willing to allow them to give me a portion of their higher power. That's not our objective. Our objective as sponsors and sponsees is to be open to a higher power, to be willing to be open to a higher power, and to practice some spiritual principles. I've seen that written at least two times in the big book in the first 164 pages, at least. And to me, that's all that's required. I remember one time I was sponsoring a Buddhist, a Jewish person, a Christian person, and I thought, look at that. And God has made me useful to serve him in that way. And so who am I to say who anyone's higher power should be? And who am I to distinguish the difference? Because I can't will myself to abstinence. I am totally convinced today that I am powerless over that first compulsive bite. I could tell you about 454 days ago, I don't know that I was convinced that I was still powerless over compulsive eating and that first compulsive bite, but I can tell you that I was desperate enough to take the necessary actions that my sponsor was telling me that I needed to do. And my sponsor at the time loved me for 4 years in and out of relapse and accepted me back every single time. And it wasn't until recently that in a meditation that God said, do you know why I put that person in your life at that time in your life? And you know, I was just like pretty blown away, but this higher power made it known to me that for 4 years I was rejected in another program and could not get back to an abstinent recovery in that program. And I was continually rejected and shamed and separated and talked harshly and down toward. And he said, just to heal that and just to let you know, that is the way I love you. I love you whether you're performing good or whether you're performing bad or whatever it appears to be. And I, you know, called that sponsor back and I said, thank you. Thank you so much for accepting me back time and time again. Like, I have no idea how God wants to use me today, but I know that because of the gift that I've been given, that it is my obligation. And why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I want to share that with someone else? And I'm told if I don't share it with someone else, I risk getting back into the disease. And I've experienced that firsthand before from not sharing my recovery with other people and being too busy or getting too distracted into other things because now my life is good. The food is where it should be, and I don't need to do anything else to give back to this program. I can't imagine life without CHOW now. And it's just for today. And I just know that it is a 24-hour reprieve and that the experience comes when I take the necessary actions.
2 minutes.
Thank you, Elaine. And I guess I really just want to encourage people to, if you find that you don't fit with a sponsor for some reason, that try another sponsor. We take this program seriously. We do, thankfully, have sponsors that are willing to step up at any given time and are available to sponsor. But I've known people that have called people that haven't said that they're available. And because of the grace of our higher power, sometimes we know that we're being asked to do more service. And so we open ourselves up for that. The willingness, though, has to be the key and the desperation for me as a returnee and sponsoring returnees that working together to do something we've never been able to do alone is critical to all our recovery and including the health of CHOW to continue to function. Thanks for letting me share. I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, which is Mountain Time, and my number is 602-526-1881. Again, it's 602-526-1881.
Thank you so much, Judy W. Our next presenter is Sue R. Sue, are you available?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you, Elaine.
Okay, go ahead.
Thanks for the privilege of being of service today. My name is Sue R., and I am a compulsive eater. My abstinent date is 5/19 of 17. That's 226 days. It's about 7.5 months. I've lost 55 pounds in that time. I'm a food inventory step sponsor. What I'm sharing today comes from my experience. I've written it down, so I'm going to be reading from a paper, and I've referenced two books. One is our sponsor guidelines, and the other is the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. So first of all, I'd like to speak about the challenges for the sponsee. Experience as a returnee and sponsee has taught me what to do and what not to do. I am an example of both. I hope that my talk today will be a ray of hope and of insight into the heart and mind of the compulsive eater who still suffers inside and outside of these rooms. One of my greatest challenges in CEA How has been honesty. How do I tell you the truth when I'm lying to me? I can't. That self-inflicted pain called lies is all I know of how to protect myself from hurt. Recovery is absolute. There's no gray area with integrity. It can take a lot of trial and error. However, you can get there eventually with the love and support from our fellows that walk before us. My truth about eating, working the tools, my emotions are essential in recovery. For me, it took years to get there. I hope this isn't the path that you walk, but if it is, I'm here to help you. When we enter the rooms of CEA How, we need to practice blind faith by choosing a sponsor that we do not really know. Sometimes we've met them or spoken to them in the past, but if you're anything like me, you want a fresh start. I don't want to go back to the old sponsors. We trust they have our best interest at heart. We are desperate, ravaged in pain. God guides us to the program. And then at times we grab control in our quest of self-will run riot, although we don't think so. Our first 30 days are spent with our hair wildly on fire and trying to integrate the seven tools into our already chaotic, panic-stricken life. I'm here to assure you to please hang on tight. Do those seven tools, and in a short time, it will calm down and become part of your routine. Seriously, it becomes as natural as brushing your teeth. Chaos will be no more. As we take step one, I can't. We allow God to help us. We admit that we're powerless over food and that our lives have become unmanageable. You may not realize it, but when you enter CEA How, you have begun step one. Then there's step two. God can. Came to believe in a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. We begin to let go of trying to control our food, control our families, and everything else in our lives. Sanity is soundness of mind. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over, thinking it's going to be different this time. It never is. Step three, I'm going to let him. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to God as we understood him. We pause, allow God to guide us to a life beyond our wildest dreams. You need not believe in God to do this. You must only take the action. This is a program of action. You cannot think your way into better living. You must live your way into better thinking. The beauty and freedom that comes from this seemingly simple decision is the acceptance of God's grace. To convey this, to learn this, to live this, is the great magic of the 12 steps. This is a spiritual program, not one of willpower. Willpower has never worked for me. Prayer, writing, tools, steps, and learning to nurture ourselves are all imperative parts of bringing us to our knees so that we become willing to let God, as we understand him, in just a little. We want it and feel it and feel willing to go to any length to get it. We get here, we get a sponsor, and then it's, oh no, I can't do that. Or that, oh no, I just can't do that either. We want it but have no idea how to surrender. On page 10 of the sponsor guidelines, titled The Act of Surrender in the Therapeutic Process, it describes the compulsive eater as having defiant individuality and grandiosity. This touches on aspects of our personality that we just don't want to look at, although we somehow know we must change if we want to get and remain abstinent. It continues to state that the compulsive eater is unreasonable and stubborn about seeking help or being able to accept it even when he or she seeks it. The tools of the CEA How program are therefore designed to induce surrender to the fullest possible degree so that defiance and grandiosity actually cease to function effectively. When that happens, the individual is wide open to reality. He or she can listen and learn without conflict or fighting back, be receptive to life, not antagonistic, a feeling of oneness which becomes the source of inner peace and serenity the possession of which frees us from the need to eat compulsively. This is by no means foolproof, and it does not happen in perfect succession all the time. A perfect program for imperfect souls. I would recommend reading this article slowly so as to learn as much as possible about who we are and what we are really like. I've never been able to look at myself realistically, and this has helped me in breaking of denial. It is imperative that as a returnee and sponsee, I remember that my disease is centered between my ears. This means I have exaggerated thinking coupled with a magnifying mind. Our feelings are not always as they seem. We suffer terribly feeling rejected when that was not the intent. We imagine situations that do not exist, and we suffer from delusions of grandeur. In a nutshell, we are egomaniacs with an inferiority complex. I mention this for those listening today that may be experiencing what I've described. Here, I want you to know that these feelings are not fact. They are the disease. It is negative, cunning, baffling, and powerful. It is a subtle foe and will tell you that you do not have a disease. CEA Howe, the seven tools, and the fellowship can and will help you combat the noise in your head. The Serenity Prayer is one of the greatest tools for calming down and shutting up that noise. You too can recover. And then now I'd like to speak about the challenges for the sponsor. Sponsoring is never easy, especially when we struggle with food. I'm certainly not an expert on sponsoring, but I am an expert on what didn't help me when I was sponsored. I will use that experience here today. I try to sponsor with love and empathy. However, I'm not always good at it. My goal today is to be an example of programs so you'll be attracted, not retracted. Listening to a returnee is important. However, drawing boundaries is also important. Keeping my word is imperative when helping someone returning to the program work the steps. It is my belief that if they are having a difficult time with their food, not to give up on them. Some of us have more difficulties than others. This doesn't mean that they deserve less because they slip. We have guidelines, and so long as they are within those guidelines, we have something to work with. Be sure to read the sponsor guidelines in our book with the same name, pages 3 and 4. One of my friends in program has said, it is important that a sponsee have a safe place to talk. They do not need to tell me every day that they ate. That is shame-based. A very important aspect she also mentioned is that because you have slipped does not mean you are no longer in recovery. You are still in recovery. If a person is doing the seven tools and is still struggling with the food, that I will continue to help them. Another thing that this friend in C. Howe suggested is that when a sponsee asks a question, that we help them find the answers and teach them so they can learn how to do it themselves, and someday teach their sponsees. We help them look up answers, research, and learn together, not just telling them what to do. We actually do it with them. I would like to thank the CEA Howe member for her wisdom and her insight. She knows who she is. Some of the practices felt like punishment to me when I would return to CEA Howe. It is difficult enough to come back and admit defeat. No sense in adding to the pain. I want to be a source of relief, love, help, kindness. That is what CEA Howe represents to me. This is how we earn trust so that our fellow members do not have to starve or eat themselves to death. We've all been there one way or the other. Love is an action, not an expression that we just say to one another. There's many of you out there. Thank you. There's many of you out there that live this program the way it was intended. I love you, and I admire you for that. Thank you for showing me, I'm going to start crying. Thank you for showing me the way to a better life, better health, and how to work from the inside out to be who I've dreamt of being all my life. Finally, the disease of compulsive eating is a life-threatening disease. It has killed many of our people. In the Big Book, Chapter 7, Working with Others, it states, we never criticize. Our only aim is to be helpful. This is as important as anything I've said today to remember when working with a sponsee that is returning to CEA Howe from hell on earth. Thank you. My name is Sue R. I'm in California, Pacific Time. My telephone number is area code 714-363-7909. That's my daughter in the background, if you can hear. Sorry. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue R. Thank you for your share. And our final speaker, and then we'll take questions and comments again, is Marcia Kay from New York. Please go ahead, Marcia.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you for asking me to participate on the panel. I'm very nervous right now. I have recently come back, and this is my first real qualification, if you will, since being back. Okay, my name is Marcia. I am a compulsive eater. I found CHOW in November 2007. I was a very fortunate person at that time. I found a beautiful sponsor who taught me the program, who took me through the steps. I lost 104 pounds. I became a maintenance sponsor. I did service. I was a vice chair on the intergroup. I was an intergroup person. I did all kinds of things. And I did it because I really love CHOW. I loved it then. I loved it over these 10 years, and I love it today. And you probably say, well, if you love it so much, then how come you slipped? Well, I slipped about, I think in the 10 years, it's probably about four times. The first time was after my fifth anniversary, about getting to the fifth, and just over the fifth anniversary, I started getting real squirrely. I started thinking, oh, my God, I could really, maybe I'm normal. Well, I'm not normal. I'll never be normal when it comes to food. And I don't even pretend anymore to think that I'm going to be normal. I left but didn't leave the room, and I went out on quantity of maintenance food. I should have known better. You know, I know not to pick up certain things. I came back, and I, too, had, after my first sponsor, I had a couple of sponsors, but for the most of my years, I worked with the same person. And she is extremely loving, and she was everything, is everything, that I wasn't. So she taught me a great deal, and I thank her to this day. I have to say that my history, I don't really want to bog down into the history, but I do want to say that returning from me as a sponsee has been very humbling. When I came back this time, and this time I had gone out. I went out in July, and thank God I did not gain a tremendous amount of weight because I really learned a lot from you all because I listened. I listened to what you were teaching me over the years. And it became not so much about the food, but more about my arrogance and my ego and thinking I could do some of this stuff on my own, and I can't. I just cannot do it without you. And you know what? I don't even want to anymore. I don't want to. I'm here because I want to be here. I want to participate in my recovery, and I want to help others. I believe that's one of my purposes. Last year, I was diagnosed with leukemia, and I was given 2 to 4 weeks to live if I didn't do certain things. So once again, I had to listen. And if I didn't listen, which is one of the hardest things for me to do, I was going to die. But you all helped me. You, even though I couldn't, that was one of my slips. I could not participate while I was doing this thing. And you all sent me literature. You sent me books. You sent me cards. You sent me prayers. You held me up when I was really falling down. The prayers, the love, I just can't begin to tell you. But that's part of my history, and I wanted to touch upon it. And I'll say this, that if I wasn't as healthy as I was when I went into the process of ridding this monster leukemia, I don't believe I would have been as lucky as I was. I think between CHOW, the members in CHOW, the medical profession, and my God, I am well today. And you know what? I believe that God didn't give me this opportunity to live so I could be a compulsive eater. So here I am. What are my challenges? My challenge still is to listen, and I do so now. I have changed sponsors, not because I didn't love my old sponsor, but because I needed something a little different. I needed more discipline, not to get beat, but discipline and structure. I need to listen again, and my big thing and what I'm doing is just like what I did when I first came in. I'm willing. I am willing to do whatever it takes to be in recovery. I want to be in recovery. I don't want to lose it. So that's what I do. And that's my challenge as a sponsee, is to keep my willingness and to listen and be honest. Because, you know, the deception starts with myself. And if I lie to myself, I'm going to lie to my sponsor. My sponsor doesn't keep me abstinent as I don't keep my sponsees abstinent. But my sponsor helps me. My sponsor is there when my dog dies. My sponsor's there not only just to receive my food and my writing, but to recover together, you know? And I'm most grateful to her, the woman that I have now. As a sponsor, unfortunately, I'm not a sponsor right now. I haven't been given the opportunity of somebody selecting me at this point. And I am only, I say, a food sponsor. And that's very cool, too, because I'm a beginner again. It doesn't matter how many years you have here. It doesn't matter how many stripes you've achieved, whether you're a FISM or not. We're all returning one day at a time. I have sponsored people that have slipped. I have sponsored people that had long-term abstinence and come back. And as long as they're willing, I'm willing. But in order to be willing, you also have to do all the tools, not just one or two. But the food plan is a tool. And if you're slipping and you're telling me that you're willing, and you're working hard, well, you need to, I don't mean to sound so harsh, but you need to work a little harder and work on the food plan, you know, as it's written, not interpretation. That's me. It has to be the way it's written. I had a little difficult time once up when I was on a dispensation of apps. It didn't work for me. I need to do it as it's written. And you know what? My sponsees do it as it's written, too. And when somebody says to me, this is very hard, and I say this is really hard, it's a pain in the butt to do, I have to remember what it was like not to do it and to be into the food. I have to remember what carrying 100 pounds on this little body did to myself. I talk about death. Well, that was a living death. So you have to remember, where did you come from? What is it you want to be? And all that you could be with your God, with your higher power, with the fellowship, is just one miracle after another. And the promises do come true if you work it. But you got to work it. I remember when I was a new sponsor, I used to want to give somebody abstinence, and I couldn't. You can't give it to somebody. They have to want it, and they have to be willing to work it. But I try to take all the people that I've worked with, these sponsors that I've worked with, I try to take a piece of each one of them and give it to my sponsees. And that's really all I have. But I do want to read you a couple of things about slips. I don't know how much time I have left, but I'm going to read you from page 11, Quantity or Quality.
And you have 2.5 minutes, Marcia. You have 2.5 minutes.
Thank you.
Go ahead. Uh-huh.
About this slip business, I would not be too discouraged. I think you are suffering from a great deal of needless guilt. And I'm going to interject that into there. I had tremendous guilt. I felt like a failure coming back and admitting that I slipped. It's ego, yes, you know, and I'm constantly working on deflating the ego. But I had such guilt and such shame. But I was accepted back because all I have to do to be a member is to want to stop eating compulsively. And God is not asking us to be successful. He is only asking us to try. And so that's all I ask of my sponsees. Please try. And by trying, that means you do the work. And I'm trying now. I'm doing the work. And I am so happy I could do more service than when I first came back on November 29th. I'm thrilled to be able to not be invisible. How many of us were invisible when we were into the food? So that's some of the complexities that I've experienced in coming back, some that I've heard from my sponsees. And I'll leave you with just saying, please just pray for willingness, and we will recover together. So thank you for letting me share. My name is Marcia. Elaine, thank you again.
Thank you, Marcia. These have been so inspiring. I have a few things to add before I open it up to questions and comments that have been learnings for me in terms of sponsoring. One of the things I had to learn was that intentions and outcomes were not always aligned. So it was possible for me, even though I had no intention, to accidentally hurt somebody. And I had to be aware that even though I didn't have the intention, that it was possible. The other thing that I've learned from my fellows is that not to take it personally. When a sponsee is having a struggle, that's not personal. It's not about me. And that we can do some research together. And at sometimes it may be the case that someone different with more recovery or different recovery may be the person. And then the other thing, and I learned this from a sponsee, and I was so glad to learn this, is that our questions for living sober are called from relapse to abstinence. And that was something that I learned also just from listening. So what I'd like to do now is open it up for questions or comments. And we have had pretty steadily 60 people listening. And so it would be wonderful to hear from some of our 60 people who may have a question or comment. It would be wonderful to hear you share. So the line is open. And if you do make a comment, there will be a 3-minute timeshare. Is there somebody who would like to contribute?
Yes, I would. My name
who
is Michelle,
this?
And
oh,
I'm
Michelle.
A fiction, and I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina. These shares have been wonderful, loving. I would want to have any of them to be my sponsor. Really, it was just beautiful. The only thing that really hasn't been addressed, and I've been waiting for this, and the question came to me, and actually one of the ladies on the panel, I called her one day. I said, well, what do you do when they come back? And these may be returnees who have done the first 30 days, the recommitment, and what do you do when they're coming back? Maybe, and I have one sponsee who's coming back maybe for the third or maybe fourth time, and with each coming back, she surrenders more, and it's wonderful to hear that. I always keep my door open, except when I feel that person really is not doing well. Maybe, and we've become too friendly, and I said, you know, I don't think it's really working well. We'll be friends, but I think you need to go with someone else. Or I'll have someone on maybe 3 times, and I say, you know, we're going to end up with the same relationship. It's best if you have somebody else. But my initial question, I'm kind of getting off the track here, is what do you do? I mean, I haven't heard that. What do you do when a returnee comes and says, oh, I've done the 30 questions. I've done the recommitment. And I'd like to hear from other people. And one, the lady that I spoke to on the panel said, well, just wherever they left, then let them start from there. And I said, okay. And as long as they do 30 questions, or as long as they do their 30 days and do some kind of writing, then I thought that was a great idea. So I'd like to hear it from other people on the panel, what they do when they have returnees, and they have done a lot. They're maybe coming back for the third time, fourth time, have done all of these things already. So that's, I've been waiting to hear something like that, and that's my question.
Panelists, if people have done the first 30 questions and flip questions, how do you handle that?
Yeah.
Elaine, it's Marcia. I'll share what I've learned and what my experience is. I know in the supervisor's guide, it speaks directly to certain things when somebody slips. It talks about, if I could find it, I'll read it out loud to you. There are certain dates and what you do. It tells you exactly where the thoughts are. Where is it? I can't find it right now, but it talks about what you do in order to get back to being a food sponsor, an inventory step, and or maintenance sponsor. And for me, I had been through all the workbooks at the time of publication, and since there's more. But if somebody's been gone for quite a while, I have them go right back to the first question. That's if they've been gone for quite a while. If they've been gone only a few days, I, too, pick up where they left off, unless they're in their first 30 days. If there are people that have come in their first 30 days and they're slipping, then you have to, I believe it says you begin where you left off, that, too. So if you've been through all the workbooks, but you've been gone for quite a while, sometimes you need a refresher. I had to go through the first 30 days again. And let me tell you, it was very good for me. It was really good for my recovery. So that's what I know, and that's what I have my sponsees doing. I would, too, also like to hear. I don't know that there is an official process, but that's what I know.
Thank you, Marcia. Are there other panelists or other people who have dealt with the issue of kind of going over the slip questions the first 30 days? And I do want to say again, the questions for living sober are called From Relapse to Abstinence. So that is another possibility. Other contributions, yes. Seth? Go ahead.
Hi, this is Barbara, compulsive eater. I have a new person that has been, never left the rooms, but she identified herself as a chronic slipper, and we talked about that a little, because she never said she was a compulsive eater. I said, well, you've identified as being a chronic slipper. What about just for today saying, you know, I'm a compulsive eater who's willing to be in recovery? But the other thing that I suggested that we do and that she do, because this was suggested to me years ago when I was slipping, sliding, really just relapsing. And I still keep this book very handy. Sometimes I take it to work. And we should all have a copy of it, not copied of it, but it's called The Forever Abstinent Guidelines for Those Seeking Abstinence, the CEA How Way. And no matter how many times I've gone through this booklet over the past 10 years, I always find something that I didn't really look at and say, oh, wow. And today, in fact, I went through it again briefly. So I have this person, and this is our second day working together, going through the Forever Abstinent Guidelines for Those Seeking Abstinence, the CEA How Way. Because I know I was excited to see what the food plan would be, but there's so many other wonderful ideas and concepts. I mean, our CEA How concept is here, our tools are here. And so I had that person going through it, underlining, and then doing her own reflection on what are some things maybe that never popped up for her before, and to talk about that with me. I also, because she's gone through the slip questions and the questions, I asked her, I said, well, have you done the first chapters 1 through 11 in the AA big book? Because, you know, that's where, for me, the program begins. Learning about the phenomena of craving is really what helped me get back after slipping and sliding for about 3 years, because I learned that I have a physical as well as mental obsession.
One minute.
So I'm doing that with her. and that's what we're doing. For at least the first 30 days, we're going to do those questions and see how it goes from there.
Thank you, Barbara. Other people would like to respond about what they do when they've exhausted those regulation questions. Yes?
Vanessa, I'd like to share.
Who is it?
Okay. No, panelists should always go first, Bruce, and I'd be happy to go after Vanessa.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. I would have to say my experience with coming back has been I have wanted to kind of like clear the board or whatever, or start off with a clean slate, and I have volunteered to start at the first 30 days and to go back to both food and questions as I was expected to do when I first came in. And that for me was a good experience, and it reaffirmed my willingness to do whatever it takes to truly be in recovery. And I have mentioned that to a number of sponsees that says they were willing to do that and they had no problem with it. And I look at answering the first 30-day questions much like our tools are, to answer a question every day, to get our thinking focused at a point that would allow us to move forward in our confidence and our dependence on a program to help in many ways. And so if you've gone through 100 questions and you've done the first 30 days, I'd say, well, take a question from any of the sources we have, as Bill sees it, came to believe, anything that would keep you focused on a daily routine, I think is the most important thing. Not particularly
1 minute.
Yes. Thank you, Elaine. Not particularly if it's question 169 or question 1. It what really matters is now that you are in the program and you want to give it all you got. And most sponsees have been willing to go along with that. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Bruce. And who was the person who came in after Bruce?
Vanessa.
Hello, Vanessa. Go ahead.
Hi. Hi, everyone. Vanessa. Just one thing I wanted to share that I haven't heard and just found so helpful already in working with some returnees is a booklet, Recommitment Questions to Steps 1, 2, and 3 in the Three-Step Ceremony. And this is item 805 in our literature, and it was last revised in 2004. But it says very specifically, sponsors, these questions are not slip questions. They are designed to give a long-term abstainer a second opportunity at abstinence. Chronic slipping is not what these questions are designed for. However, if a person has had from 5 months to 5 years of abstinence, and then their disease becomes active again, these questions are part and parcel of a return to the fold. And I have found that so helpful, and it does. It goes right back to step one, because really, isn't that what, I mean, I do step one every day, many times a day, right? I mean, we for me, the going through relapse, coming back in, actually, I never left. That's my only sage advice to offer. Never leave, even if you're relapsed. Never leave. It's so hard to come back. Even when I was eating, that's what kept me attached to the program, was that I kept coming back. I knew the answer was here, and I just had to keep coming back. And finally, you know, God granted me the grace of abstinence again, and thank God. Now I have to do that powerlessness, and that's in this abstinence, every abstinence I've had, I've had to go deeper and give up more and accept greater powerlessness. So I was trying to do Vanessa's program before, and that just does not work. So, yes, I encourage everyone to surrender.
1 minute.
Thank you. It's worth anything, this freedom, this priceless gift of freedom from the food. But, you know, it's not me. I ate for 35 plus years, and there is absolutely no way that I, of my own accord, could put down the food one day and keep the food down one day at a time for almost 2 years now, and that is just a gift from God. And so all I do every day is to do my best to not throw it away. And I do that today by working this amazing program and doing it as it's written and committing fully to it. That's all I got. Those are my answers. All right. Thank you, Elaine. Thank you, all panelists.
Dorothy.
Great, great workshop.
Dorothy wanted to say a little bit on that. Can I say something?
Go ahead. Certainly.
This is Susan.
Dorothy.
I'd like to share, too.
Okay. Vanessa, could you please leave your phone number?
I'd rather not, since this is recorded, but you can get it from Elaine.
Yes.
Thank you.
Dorothy, that would be okay. Susan from New York hasn't had a chance. Can she go, and then you'll follow?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Susan.
Thank you, Elaine, and thank you to all the people on the panel today. You've all done such a great job. I've learned so much. I wanted to read from page 99 in As Bill Sees It, The Slipper Needs Understanding. This came up for me today when I was working with a sponsee. And it says, slips can often be charged to rebellion. Some of us are more rebellious than others. Slips may be due to the illusion that one can be cured of alcoholism. Slips can also be charged to carelessness and complacency. Many of us fail to ride out these periods sober. Things go fine for 2 or 3 years. Then the member is seen no more. Some of us suffer extreme guilt because of vices or practices that we can't or won't let go of. Too little self-forgiveness and too little prayer. Well, this combination adds up to slips. Then some of us are far more alcohol damaged than others. Still others encounter a series of calamities and cannot seem to find the spiritual resources to meet them. There are those of us who are physically ill. Others are subject to more or less continuous exhaustion, anxiety, and depression. These conditions often play a part in slips. Sometimes they are utterly controlling. I just wanted to read that because I do still need help in understanding people I work with or people in the program that are slipping or relapsing. And it's coming to me little by little over the years that I've been in CHOW. I thought at first I knew why people slip. I had the assumption that I knew, and yet there could be so many different reasons for slips and relapses.
One minute.
Thank you, Elaine. So I can't really assume to know why a person is slipping or why they're relapsing. I can just keep practicing and learning to practice love and tolerance and remember that I too slip. I have emotional slips all the time, and I say I don't want to. I say it'll be different, but I still have them. So I learn a lot from all of us, all of you. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Susan. And now Dorothy, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I've had sponsees before that said, oh, God, I hope you don't make me go through those questions again. And so the answer to the been there, done that, you know, we shouldn't be so fast to say been there, done that when we relapse or slip. And the reason being is the tendency is to think that you've already been there and done that. So what else is there to learn from a repeat visit to the questions or a repeat visit to, you know, some people have to go outside for outside help, you know. So the answer is that you will always pick up new pieces of information, learn new strategies for coping, how to deal with recurring issues and problems, and how to incorporate healthier behavior patterns. Even how to communicate what's going on with you and not allowing stress to get you down. If you want to come back stronger than ever, and if you want to come back stronger than ever, the bottom line is that relapse isn't the end of recovery journey. It is what you decide to do immediately following relapse and continue to forward in your abstinence that matters. So keep in mind that gaining knowledge, practicing and honing your recovery skills, and surrounding yourself with people who support and encourage your recovery goals is all a part of the process. So whether you have to start all over again, because we do, we go back to the basics, even in our meetings, steps 1, 2, and 3. We go back to the basics. We talk about the foundation. We go back to page 1 in the big book and go all the way to page 164. So to repeat something that you've already done is not harmful. It's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Dorothy. Are there some other questions that people are really wanting to ask, perhaps too shy to? This would be the time. We have about 5 or 6 minutes left. Some other questions.
I have a comment.
I'm sorry? Oh, go, comment. Who is this?
This is Sue R.
Oh, go ahead, Sue.
Okay, thank you. Sue R., compulsive eater, and I just wanted to comment on my experience with being a chronic slipper for the last 16 years, and when I came back in May of this year, I had been able to put together 226 days. The difference for me, I think, was being willing to be honest, to do an inventory when I came back on the people I was angry at in program, because I was angry at them. I realized after working on it that it was because they were abstinent and I wasn't. But, you know, I had other ideas about that. But then my sponsor that I got, and by the way, she was the first person I called for to ask to be my sponsor. I got her from the sponsor coordinator. She said yes and sponsored me for 7 months till I got on maintenance, and she's not a maintenance sponsor, but she was awesome. She just took me. We started like I'd never been in the program before because, you know, 16 years is a lot of know-it-all, and I'm being and then AA on top of it, you know, so I really had know-it-allism bad. And I had to put that aside. I just had to say, you know what? So a lot of times it's not always on the sponsor. A lot of times it's on the sponsee. We got to own it. We got to take responsibility. I had to just put the past in the past and say, okay, I'm going to come back here like I'm brand new. And I'm going to start over again. And I did everything exactly. The first 30 questions, the inventory questions, the 6 through 12. You know, and then after that, the traditions. And so, you know, it is what it is. But that's been my experience. So thank you.
Thank you, Sue R. And there's some other questions or comments from our listeners.
This is Kathy E. Could I make a quick comment?
Please, Kathy, go ahead.
First of all, I just want to say a heartfelt thanks to everybody that's put this workshop together. It's just been wonderful, and I've learned so many great things. I'm a chronic slipper, and I want to also thank my sponsor and previous sponsors for the tremendous patience they've shown, so that even though I've had many slips, I haven't left the program in a long time, and that's made a huge difference in my health and my both, you know, mental, spiritual, and physical health. But the small comment I wanted to make is that if people are trying to help people that slip, one additional idea is that there are a couple of meetings that are particularly focused on slip prevention, and there's some good ideas in that. Doesn't necessarily help everybody, but the one I like the best is creating a 911 list for myself that I carry in my purse, so I'm really in trouble and my head is just going sideways. I can pull it out and remind myself, here are some things that might help me in this moment of need. And they're not amazing things. They're the same things we talk about all the time. But when I get in real trouble, I can't think of them fast enough. I can put food in my mouth a lot faster than I can think of the things I need to do at that point. And so it's helpful to me to have an emergency list tucked away that I can take a look at. And that's just thanks again to everybody.
Thank you, Kathy. And now, by way of wrapping up, I would like to leave you with two images. One of the images I'm fondest of is the image of the compulsive eating troll. This is a troll that usually lives behind my refrigerator, sometimes under my scale, once in a while in my car. But the compulsive eating troll always has a great thought for me. And if I don't notice that right away, that little thought becomes romancing the food, or maybe romancing an idea. And so I need to be aware when my compulsive eating troll sticks out its little head. But the other image that comes to mind, and this is really from the inspiring shares that I heard, was another image. And that is the image of abstinence as a very precious seedling that I hold between my hands. And that little seedling needs the water and the sun and the fertilizer of this program that comes through everything that we do, through the writing, through outreach calls, from that very delicate relationship of sponsor and sponsee. It comes from working the program in every way that we can. I want to, again, thank our inspiring panelists, Roberta, Bruce, Barbara, Judy, Sue R., and Marcia. Thank you so much. And again, this thanks to Cheryl, our wonderful technology person, will be available that you could share it with your sponsees because it will be posted. Thank you all for coming today. And with that, I will close this workshop. And let's say the serenity prayer. Unmute.
God.
Grant me the serenity. To accept the things I cannot change.
The courage to change the things I can.
Amen. Thy will, not mine, be done.
Amen.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you. Wonderful panel. Thank you.